Well, it is Father's Day. It is the day that most of us remember Dad or try to honor him and to show him appreciation for being Dad. It's the day when moms are especially responsible to teach the children to obey and to honor Dad. It's the day that many dads are treated to a special dinner, new tools, a phone call, even if it's collect. It's the day when we forgive Dad of the mistakes that all dads make, particularly the dad in this story, and maybe hopefully we're not all guilty of this type thing, but a family was vacationing and they stopped for some fast food, and when they finished dinner or lunch, Mom left her glasses on the table unknowingly, got in the car, they all headed down the road, and they were a half hour down the road before she was fumbling for her glasses and remembered just that moment they're right there on the table where they ate. So she told Dad. He was upset. He did not like the idea of turning around, going back a half hour, and then having to, you know, make up the time. And he was frustrated. He let her know it. He scolded her. He was downright rude. For the whole 30-minute trip, he fussed and fumed at her and made her feel really badly. Well, they finally got back to the fast food restaurant. She got out of the car, headed toward the door. And then he rolled down his window and he yelled at her and he said, "While you're in there, you might as well get my hat too." Hopefully, our families will forgive us when we do stupid things like that and when we're rude, when we make mistakes. My message this morning is entitled Gifts for Dads. I'm guessing most dads here will get a gift of some sort, either from the kids or from the wife. But we're going to look at the scriptures to discover a list of biblical gifts, things that dads are due, things that we are responsible to give Dad. It's similar to the Bible's gift list for mom that we looked at on Mother's Day, and I want to review that list because I think these things are important for us to remember, things that we need to be reminded of often. So these are the things that dads and kids need to be doing for mom. Dads are responsible to give mom leadership, love, nurture, leaving and cleaving, being the priest of the family, providing material needs, and giving consideration and respect. Children are responsible to give mom, and dads need to teach this, to give mom obedience, honor, and attentiveness. This morning, then, we'll look at the Bible teaching about what we are to give dad. And so I ask you to turn to the book of Genesis, if you would. The second chapter, we read earlier from this passage, and I like the point that Kay made. God is our Heavenly Father, and He has been so kind and generous toward us. And He has laid out such a wonderful hope for us when the earth will be renewed to the way it was when He first created it, and when He establishes the kingdom through His Son. But we read from Genesis 2, beginning with verse 18, and here's where we begin the gift list of things mom should give dad. Genesis 2:18. The Lord God said, "It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him." Now the Lord God had formed out of the ground all the beasts of the field and all the birds of the air. He brought them to the man to see what he would name them, and whatever the man called each living creature, that was its name. So the man gave names to all the livestock, the birds of the air, and all the beasts of the field. But for Adam, no suitable helper was found. So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. And while he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs and closed up the place with flesh. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of the man. And he brought her to the man. The man said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man." This is the gift of help that moms need to give, I think are responsible to give to dad. Here is the beginning of the biblical purpose statement for women, the role for women to play in the family. And this is, there are many other passages that would complement or that would help us to know the role of women, but this is the beginning of it, where God made it clear that Eve was created to be a suitable helper for his for her husband, Adam. This is the, I believe, the single most important gift that moms can give dads, and that is to be a helper in every way. It's clear that man cannot go it alone, and I've said this before, man is inept. We are incapable of functioning really well by ourselves. And we need to realize that. Mankind, even though God made Adam first, Adam was not the answer to all the needs of creation. He needed Eve. That was God's solution. And two things, I think, have to happen in order for us to understand God's intent for the roles of the family. One is, man has to realize that he's inept. And second, woman has to realize that her purpose is to help the man. That is not a put down at all on the man in that he's inept, or on the woman that she is in the role of a helper. It's not a reflection on the woman's intelligence or her giftedness or whether she's better looking or not. It's simply the reason God created Eve. It's God's will. It's His design. Marriage will work better if we understand this role. Families will work better if we understand this role. Churches will work better. Our whole culture would work better if we could understand and adapt this role. There's no need for competition between the genders. Husband and wife are on the same team. They are, in fact, one, according to Paul in the New Testament. I ask you to turn to the New Testament now, if you would. Ephesians, the 5th chapter. And here we find one of the other gifts that moms should give dad. Ephesians 5. Familiar passage. We'll look at verses 22 through 24. Ephesians 5:22. Here it's the Apostle Paul. He said, "Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything." And so this is the gift of submission. Just as the dads are responsible to give to the women leadership, so also the moms are responsible to give to the husbands submission. This too works best if man realizes he is inept, and if the woman realizes that she is there to help him in everything. And again, that's not a put-down. It's just become quite obvious in the beginning that man could not go it alone. God said, it is not good that man should be alone. And so God recognized that incompleteness right away. I'm sure it was part of his plan from the beginning. This is a case of positional leadership. It does not suggest or imply that man is better in any way, shape, or form. It's not that he's smarter. It's not that he's more gifted. It's not that he's better looking, although that is true in some species. It doesn't appear to be with the human species at all. It's just God's design. It's what he intended. It's his will. And we would be wrong to violate that in our families, and I think we are in our culture. As it says in 1 Corinthians 11, Paul wrote there, he said, "For man did not come from woman." And normally, you know, we were all born of a woman. But truthfully, man did not come from woman, as Paul went on to say in 1 Corinthians 11, but woman came from man. Neither was man created for woman, but woman for man. And this takes us back to the beginning. It takes us back to God performing that first surgery on Adam to withdraw the rib and to, from that, create Eve. Now, I realize the world does not see it this way. The world rebels against this idea. Far be it, though, from the church, far be it from Christian families to violate this which God has made clear in His Word. Going on here in Ephesians 5, we'll look at 25 through 33. "Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave Himself up for her." to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In this same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated his own body, but he feeds and cares for it, just as Christ does for the church. For we are members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I am talking about Christ and the church. However, each one of you also must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. And so to kind of turn this around and to make the application, as the husband is responsible to love the mom, I think it is the responsibility of the mom to be lovely, to be lovable, and to present herself in loveliness. And this is a gift for the dad, for the father. Just as the man is to not only love his wife, but to love sacrificially, as Jesus sacrificed himself for his bride, the church. Likewise, the church, we are responsible to make ourselves lovely unto our groom, unto Jesus Christ. We are to be pure in all of these descriptions that were here given by Paul. And so also, women can give this gift to their husbands and honor him in so doing. Paul lists being holy, blameless, without stain, without wrinkle, without blemish. What man wouldn't be pleased? What man wouldn't love his wife even more if she presented herself unto him with these characteristics? The next gift moms should give dad is hinted at in verse 31. Actually goes back to Genesis 2, where it says the man is to leave his parents, cleave unto his wife. The responsibility is really given to the man, but again, it's the woman's responsibility to help, to help her husband to cleave unto her, to leave all other relationships, to cleave, to make it a pleasure, to make it an honor, to make it a good thing, not a stuck thing. And so I think this responsibility falls to the woman. Also, the gift of respect, and this is in verse 33. This also corresponds with one of the gifts men are to give the moms. It goes both ways. Each is to respect the other. Actually must respect the other. If a man knows his wife respects him, appreciates him, values him, it will be a pleasure to come home. Family life will be far more pleasant. Not to say that there won't be difficulties or challenges, but those challenges will be risen above if the respect and the honor and the consideration is all there. Build your husband up. Teach the kids to respect and to obey and to honor and to admire and to value dad. The dad plays a super important role. Not that mom doesn't, but this is Father's Day. The dad plays such an important role. And in our culture, we have such an absence of dads. And it hurts our families. It hurts our culture. It hurts our society. Build him up. The wife, you know, the dad gets trouble and criticism everywhere he goes, at work, in the world, whatever. We all do. But if at home there is a sanctuary in the relationship, the wife can, I think, with her respect for him, can cancel out all the negative that goes on in the world. The respect factor makes a huge difference in raising children. If children see a tremendous respect between mom and dad, they will learn how that marital relationship works. They will see that sometimes mom and dad, you know, they don't agree on something, but they talk it out. They discuss it. They arrive at a compromise or some kind of an agreement. And they'll see respect, and they will learn much for their relationships in the future. A few gift ideas from the children. And just flip over to Ephesians 6, if you would. We looked at these same things when we were celebrating Mother's Day. Ephesians 6:1 says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. kids owe their dads and moms the gift of obedience. Simple, sweet obedience. They say, go clean the room. Go clean the room. They say, pick up your stuff. Do your homework, whatever it might be. Pick up the toys. Just do it. And you know how many times dad ought to say, pick up your toys, or mom, either one. It ought to be once. And once it's said, then maybe the other spouse, if in the room, ought to jump in and say, didn't your dad say to pick up your toys? What are you doing sitting there? Or why are you still playing that game? And after the instruction is given, if there is no immediate obedience, and I realize I'm speaking here like a perfect parent. I'm not. Alice and I weren't. We made mistakes with our kids. But I know this is how it should be. After we speak and give an order, if it's not followed, then there has to be action. Then there has to be enforcement of the order. Not whining on the part of the parent. Not negotiating on the part of the parent. That's wrong. That's what you do in labor union contracts, and that's what you do in sales deals and that kind of thing. Between parent and kid, it's the mom and dad that are the boss, and the kids are to obey. It's biblical. It's a requirement. And if we as parents don't require that obedience, then we are at fault, and we are teaching them, I don't really mean it when I say pick up your toys. I really mean, wait until I say it 3 or 4 times. Wait till I get upset. Wait until I yell or scream. That's when I mean it. We don't want to teach them that. Anyway, Colossians 3:20 supports this, just going along Paul again. But he said, children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Teach your kids to please the Lord by obeying mom and dad. One of the most important gifts you can give dad. And then Ephesians 6, verses 2 and 3. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you, and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. So not only is there obedience, and it ought to be immediate obedience, but there should also be an honoring as that obedience is being given. The gift of honor. It's entirely possible to obey, but to dishonor. And that should never be, especially in a Christian home. Notice this is a commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you, that you may enjoy long life on the earth. This is a gift that we can give our fathers, I think even if they're no longer alive. We can honor our parents to our children, our grandchildren, by reminding them, you know, this is something that your great-grandpa said, or that your great-grandma thought a lot about or valued. We can honor them. And now if you would turn to Deuteronomy for another, the third, the last gift that children owe this to dad, also to mom. Deuteronomy chapter 6, very familiar passage. Deuteronomy 6, verses 4 through 9. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Now this instruction was given to the Israelite people way back in the Old Testament. But I think the application is so very, very clear here to mom and dad. We have the responsibility for Christian education. It is not the church. Now the church ought to do some. But it's only complementary. It only supplements what takes place in the home. You who are moms and dads with children, with teenagers, it is your responsibility to impress upon the kids the ways of God, the commands of God. Hopefully the church will help in that, will reinforce that. But the primary responsibility falls on mom and dad. But that's not the gift that I'm wanting to get to. Reading on. Impress these commandments on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands. Bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. What a responsibility, what an opportunity we have to teach children and grandchildren. But the gift here that I'm wanting to draw from this is, the gift from kids to give to dad is, attentiveness. If dad and mom are responsible to teach the ways of God, we're not just talking about math or writing or history or reading. Those things are important, but they are nothing compared with the commands of God, the ways of God, the will of God. And so if mom and dad are teaching children about these things of God, then children must be taught to be attentive, to pay close attention, to value, to perk up the ears, to really listen when mom and dad are teaching about God and the ways of God. I think there's a strong implied command. And what dad wouldn't appreciate the children really paying attention, sitting on the edge of the seat, leaning forward, listening closely to the instruction that moms and dads give. Proverbs 6 goes along with that. I'll just read. It says, keep your father's commands, bind them upon your heart forever, fasten them around your neck. When you walk, they will guide you. When you sleep, they will watch over you. When you awake, they will speak to you. This is how important are the commands, the teachings, the instruction that comes from dad. Just a brief review then, and I'll remind you that these are not just gift ideas, they're not just suggestions. These are commands from God. These are things that moms and that children are responsible to give to dads. Moms, you are to give help, and this is just to be a helper, to help in any way, shape, or form that it may be needed. Submission, loveliness, to leave and cleave, to respect. Children are responsible to give obedience, honor, and attentiveness. I would suggest that we commit in our hearts that we would have the families such as are described here in the scriptures, that we would give to dads these things, and that we would honor and value them. And I believe that as we do these things, that the blessings will come back, kind of like a boomerang. The idea is that if you give these blessings to dad, you will be blessed. It will come back and be a blessing to you and to your family, and probably to the next generation and the one following that as well.